breast, the one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. No doubt every one of us in here has experienced firsthand the conflict of these two natures. These two conflicts, these two natures are dueling natures, if we want to say it, that are at conflict in the life of a believer. And Paul, as we remember, last week even talked about it. We read this, but I want to read it again. Romans 7:15 says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And then he said, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And he kind of carries that over into the passage that we're going to look at today. In Galatians 5:17, he says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, do you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about this inner civil war that goes on inside of every Christian. And every Christian knows what it is like to have an ambition, you know, this desire that we want to devote our lives to accomplishing something really of eternal value, to give ourselves in service to others, to be a godly husband or wife, to be the spiritual leader of our family, to bring non-Christians into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to change the, you know, our corner of the world for the glory of God. And I'm sure that every believer desires something along these lines, don't you? I mean, on the other hand, I mean, there are different desires that we struggle with. You know, it's the desire not to serve others, but to serve ourselves. It's the desire not to give sacrificially, but to give to ourselves, to keep it all to ourselves. The desire not to accomplish great things for the glory of God, but instead to spend our days sitting on the beach, you know, fishing, boating, playing golf, or just watching a television program. And so it's an inner civil war that's raging in each one of us. And it's a mixed bag of wants that are in conflict, if you will, with one another. And all too often we find ourselves, you know, facing these two things that are diametrically opposed. I mean, they're forces going against each other. Like wanting to be thin and wanting to eat pizza and ice cream and cake all day long and every day. It just doesn't work. And so this civil war goes on for, with more than what we choose to eat. It affects our spiritual life, our church life, our careers, our marriages, our family life, our friendship, and on it goes. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the desire to do the right is often overshadowed, if you will, by the desire to do what is wrong. And so it's an inner civil war that is going on within each one of us. And so today we're going to talk about how to win the inner civil war, how to learn to live our lives according to the purposes of God rather than the desires of the flesh. And it teaches us a powerful principle about the Christian life. Now, last week we talked about, you know, living in faith. We talked about having faith in Jesus Christ and not in works, and that we were free from the works of the law. And every time you come into a question or you get into this type of study, the question always comes, what about sin? What about sin? You say that I've been set free from the law. You say that I'm not made right with God by doing what is good. You know, so You're telling me that it's just through faith? I mean, does that mean that God forgives me anyway? I mean, does that mean that I can go ahead and I can sin with abandon, that I don't have to worry about it? No, that's not what he's saying, is it? I mean, and we have already talked about that many times. We can't choose to do those kinds of things and find ourselves being right with God. You see, being saved by grace doesn't mean that you are free to sin. It means that you're free not to sin. Free not to sin. I mean, we don't have to be slaves to this old nature anymore. In fact, we choose to be, if you will, and we don't have to. And so the book of Galatians is not just about our freedom in God, it's about our victory in Jesus Christ. And so the question comes, do you want to win this inner civil war? Do you want to win the victory? And I think today we're going to see how it's done. And Paul says that it comes down to being led by the Spirit of God. And he uses the phrase that's translated so many times in other translations, walking in the Spirit. And I like that image, don't you? I mean, I like the image that phrase suggests, because what that means is that it's a step-by-step process. It's a day in and a day out. It's a moment by moment. And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other as you make your way toward a relationship or forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You ever go into a bookstore? I mean, you go over and you look at the magazine rack, and on the magazine rack, if you're interested in things about health and fitness, you'll find there weightlifting magazines that'll help you to improve your technique in weightlifting. Or if you're interested in yoga, which I would never be interested in yoga, I don't bend that way, then it'll help you improve your yoga techniques. And if you're interested in martial arts, there are magazines there that'll help you to improve your skills in those particular areas. But amazingly, there is a book there, or a magazine there, that is about walking. About walking. I mean, an entire magazine. I mean, can there be that much to be said about walking, that they can fill those pages year in and year out of those publications? I mean, to me, it doesn't seem that way. I mean, I started walking when I was at a very young age. In fact, they tell me by the time I was 2 years old, I'd pretty well mastered the system. And I've been walking now for over 7 decades. And I pretty well walk in, with the same way I did back then. And so what else is there to know about walking? Well, apparently there's a lot more to learn, isn't there? I mean, let's say you're interested in health and fitness, then it'll tell you that you need to stretch before and after you walk. Or if you need to find exact right shoes to wear when you're walking, and you need to set the right pace, and you need to eat the right foods, and so on that it goes. And so again, apparently there's a lot to be said about walking, in the same way that there is a lot to be said about walking in the Spirit. I mean, there are things that you and I can do to improve the way we walk in the Christian life. And walking in the Spirit is a process. And it's a process. Once that you master it, you'll experience victory in the freedom that Paul talks about in chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And so today we're going to talk very quickly about three things that you can do to improve your walk, and as a result, experience victory in this inner civil war that's going on, and have freedom in your day-to-day life. Well, the first thing that you need to establish is filter your influences. Filter your influences. Listen to what Paul says in the 7th verse. He says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Paul says, who are you listening to? I mean, who are you allowing to yourselves to be influenced by? Why are you being influenced by the wrong crowd? You see, a group of Jewish believers or Christians had come in, and they held that in order to be saved, you had to follow the Jewish law. You had to obey the Jewish law. And so here they are, they're spreading their influence within the church of Galatia. And many of the Galatian Christians were being led astray. And understand something, at the center of the controversy is the ritual of circumcision, because it is symbolic of the entire Jewish law. And so this group of Jewish legalists were saying, you want to follow Jesus? Well, that's good that you want to be a follower of Jesus. But if you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to be circumcised. And you see, implied with that is the command, if you will, or the idea that you will follow all the Jewish laws, the dietary laws, the Sabbath laws, and so on and so on. I mean, all of the law centered around circumcision. And you see here that in this passage of Scripture that Paul is furious. He's furious that this group of people had begun stirring up trouble and trying to turn these people away from the idea of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And trying to turn them toward the idea of salvation by obedience to the law. And so he told the Galatian Christians to be careful. Be careful who you listen to. In verse 10 he said, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. And then he says something very shocking in verse 12. He says, as for those agitators, I wish that they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. The whole way and emasculate themselves. And that second word translated emasculate means to cut themselves off. And what that means is castration. Just castrate themselves. I mean, we see here that Paul's not pulling any punches, is he? He's not mincing any words. I mean, he is dead serious about what he's saying. You see, this is not about a minor doctrinal difference. This is about the foundation of your spiritual life. And so are you trying to earn your salvation through obedience to the law? And if you are, then understand something, you're going to live a life of misery and failure. Or are you receiving salvation as a gift of grace and of God's grace? In which case, you'll experience a lifetime of freedom and victory. Now, it's an important issue. And Paul didn't take kindly to the members of this legalistic faction coming in and muddying the water. And Paul said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. Now listen to verse 10 again. He says, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. And then what he said in Galatians 4:12, he says, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. And again, what he's saying is don't listen to them. Listen to me. And you see, the reason that Paul can say that is that he is preaching a gospel that he received by revelation from Jesus Christ. A gospel that is consistent with the Old Testament. A gospel that has been endorsed by the followers and the leaders of the church. And so Paul's saying, I'm telling you the truth. They're telling you lies. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. And folks, you need to get in the habit of filtering your influences. You need to get in the habit of filtering your influence. You need to learn to be selective in who you listen to. Let me ask you, who do you listen to? I mean, every one of us, I think, have some person who is kind of the voice of the law and the voice of non-grace. Someone who tells you you've got to prove yourself over and over again. You've got to earn my respect. You've got to earn any kindnesses that you receive from me. You've got to measure up to my standards. And maybe that voice came from a parent. Maybe it came from a boss. Maybe it came from a spouse. Maybe it came from one of your friends. But folks, oftentimes, we project that voice onto God. And we hear God saying things like, prove it, earn it, work for it. And by the way, I'm still not satisfied. I mean, this is the voice of legalist. It is not the voice of God. It is the voice of self-righteousness, not the voice of mercy. And so if you want to learn to walk in the Spirit, then whenever that person talks to you or says something to you, trying to influence you, turn on your filter and turn a deaf ear. Instead, make it a habit to listen to the voice of grace in your life. Listen to those who speak strength into your life. Listen to those who speak encouragement into your life. Those who speak comfort into your life. Listen to those who inspire you to become like Jesus Christ, who ignite in you a passion for holiness. I mean, listen to those who remind you always of the goodness of God's grace. I mean, that's who you need to listen to, because they will help you learn to walk in the Spirit. And for all the self-righteous legalist hypocrites, again, let their words just kind of roll off of you. Don't listen to them. Filter your influence. The second thing you need to do is look for opportunities to serve others. And we talked somewhat about that last week, if you remember. But he says in verses 13 and 14, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, have you ever noticed how often the Bible, you know, talks about true spirituality is directly connected with that of treating how you treat others? I mean, one reason the legalists prefer legalism is that it allows them not to serve others. I mean, to keep everything for themselves. You know, they don't have to worry about it. They're not looking to be, you know, other-centered. And it's easier to follow the rituals of washing hands in a certain way and eating certain foods and instead of devoting one's life to serving others. And so the focus of the legalist is me, me, me. You know, how well do I measure up to the law? And the focus of the person living by grace is you, you, you. What can I do for you? I mean, do you want to learn to walk in the Spirit? Do you want to learn how to win the inner civil war? Then, folks, what it's saying here is live your life as an opportunity to serve others. I can guarantee you this one thing. You will never incur the wrath of God by serving others. It pleases God when you serve others. Paul continues the theme of this in chapter 6, verse 1, when he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law. And then dropping down to verse 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You see what he's saying there? He's saying, don't just come to church. You know, be the church. Be the church. I mean, he's talking here about serving others. What he's telling us is to begin look for opportunities to do good in the lives of other people. And in the Scripture, there's an undeniable connection between being filled with the Spirit of God and ministering to others. And the two go hand in hand. I mean, you've heard it said, God helps those who help themselves. Well, Paul's saying here, God helps those who helps others. And so again, do you want to win? the inner civil war? Victory comes more easily when you are focused on others and not yourself. Well, the final thing we want to look at is think on your feet. Think on your feet. As I mentioned earlier, I've been walking for over 7 decades, and I think I've gotten pretty good at it. But you know, I have to admit, there are a few times that I didn't get it right. And, you know, in each case, the problem with the way I was walking was I wasn't thinking. I wasn't looking. I wasn't paying attention, and I was just going through the motions, and I wound up making a mess. It wound up being a problem. You ever watch those clips that they've had on maybe the internet of people texting and walking? You know, you see one lady as she's texting and she's paying so much attention to it, she goes, falls right into a fountain. You find another guy that walks into a pole. You find other people that run into each other, or they even go out into busy traffic. I mean, so you have to be careful of how you walk. And so in our Christian lives, if we're merely going through the motions of a spiritual walk, then we're likely to make the same kind of mistakes. We're liable to make the same kind of mistakes and find ourselves in the same kind of messes. And so walking in the Spirit is not something that just happens by accident. It's not something that happens by accident in our life. I mean, we have to learn how to do it. And it happens deliberately, it happens consciously, and it happens intentionally. In other words, you have to think. You have to think when you walk. You have to stay focused and pay attention when you walk. You have to think on your feet, because thinking has a lot to do with walking in the Spirit. Paul says in Romans 8:5, he says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And so walking in the Spirit, you know, is to be thinking in the Spirit. I mean, Paul gives us a couple of things to think about. First, he says, he reminds us that negative consequences that come by walking in the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He said, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so as we go through life, we need to learn to make it a habit to think about the consequences of our actions, the consequences of our behavior. What is the outcome of what we do? Now set aside for a moment the reference of sexual sin and drunkenness, and listen to what else he said. He says, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Now let me ask you, do you want any of those things in your life? I mean, do you want any of those to be a part of your day-to-day walk? Well, of course not. I mean, we don't want those kinds of things, because you see, those things lead to misery, don't they? They lead to death, as does drunkenness and sexual sin. And so think on your feet as you go through life day by day making decisions. Think about the negative consequences of sinful behavior. Well, Paul says also there's some positive results of being Spirit-led. He calls them the fruit, he says in verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, says here forbearance. Normally, you know, I took this out of the New International, but it should be patience as far as I'm concerned, because that's the way I've always heard it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, he says, there is no law. So Paul's saying that when you let the Spirit of God dwell and control your life, he's saying these are the results you'll get. Not the desires of the flesh, not being led by the devil, but these are the results you'll get. And instead of hostility and outbursts of anger and selfish ambition and jealousy, he says, you'll experience love, joy, peace, patience, and on and on. And so think about these things. Think about the results you want to achieve in your life, and then do what he says in verse 24, where he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We say to God, God, everything in my life, every desire that doesn't please you, I want to put it to death. Everything in my life that doesn't bring glory to you and doesn't build up the church, I want to nail it to the cross. I mean, we have to learn to think our way through life every step of the way. And so let me ask you, do you want to win this inner civil war that's going on in your life and my life? Do you want to learn to walk in the power of the Spirit? Then you need to get in the habit of thinking on your feet as you go through life day by day, making one decision after another. Think. Think about the negative consequences of following the desires of the flesh. Think about the positive results, about, you know, the direction of the Holy Spirit being in your life. And as often as you have to, nail your passions to the cross. In closing, this battle of these two natures that each of us have today, folks, that this war will not be won this side of heaven. Won't be won this side of heaven. You and I are going to have to continually struggle against these opposing desires. And Paul says again in verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But understand something, folks. Being Christians, we have an unfair advantage, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we know that he can win the battle through us. And we win the battle when we learn to walk in the Spirit every step of the way, every moment of the day. And as you walk, filter everything through your filter. Don't listen to those voices that tried to lead you astray. Filter those influences out. Make sure that you're listening instead to the voice of grace. And then look for opportunities to serve people, because God helps those who help themselves. And then learn to think on your feet with every step of you remember God's presence and the Spirit's power. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And kind of a rough day, and I just thank you that your presence is here. And Father, I just ask that you minister to every person here. I pray that something in this message really tugs at their heart and helps them to see that they have this battle going on within them. There's those desires, and oftentimes, Father, we find ourselves giving in to those desires, allowing ourselves to be manipulated by the bad voices, by Satan, allowing even our own desires to be filled and fulfilled. And Father, those things don't bring glory to you. And they certainly don't make us feel good after we've done them. And so, Father, we just ask this morning that each of us will desire to walk in the Spirit. That, Father, we will filter the influences. That we will serve others. That we will think as we walk. And that, Father, we will nail all of those desires and passions that are against you and what you want. That we'll nail those to the cross. And so, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the Spirit that indwells us, that you made the promise to us that we would have when we gave our life to Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to be sensitive to his leading. Help us to listen to him. Help us to be the voice that we hear working within our lives to help us to have victory, success, and a great life, a fulfilled life, a life, Father, that pleases you and blesses you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make this morning, why don't you make it as we stand and sing?